page number 9. New rule. Page number 9. It's saying that.
Oh, y'all did the same last week?
I said, you've been listening last week, you're asking straight up, you have to sit on, you have to sit on, you have to sit on, you have to.
Thank you. I've been walking through a valley. It was dark and it was without a valley, how would I ever know that His strong and gentle hand would never let me go? How would I know for sure that I'm secure and safe wherever I go without a so I thank You, Lord, for every trial, how You're teaching me Your perfect love. You have shown that I can still have joy inside, even though the road seems long and rough. But without a valley, how would I ever know that His strong and gentle hand will never let me go? How would I know for sure that I'm secure and safe wherever I go without a valley? How would I know? How would I know for sure that I'm secure and safe wherever I go without a valley? How would I know?
Thank you, Ms. Teresa, for that good song tonight. Let's turn. You will get your sheet from last week. We covered about half of last week's study sheet. So you'll find that. Church. Talking, finishing up tonight on baptism. Finished on proper candidates. Correct candidates. Anybody that needs a copy, raise your hand. I get Brother Julius to run back and get us some copies. Anybody need a copy? Sister Teresa does. All right. Brother Julius, would you go back and get a couple of copies? Anybody else while Brother Julius is going back? You got it. All right, while he's taking care of that. All right, thank you note. It says, to the church, thank you. It was so kind of you all to throw the surprise party for my birthday. Thanks for the cards, for the gifts. Love you all. May God bless you muchly. Love in Christ, Teresa. So I'm glad that just about had a surprise party. Just about. So, There still were a few surprises, so that's all right. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. We talked last week, of course, this is the second of two ordinances in the Bible. The Lord's Supper is one of them. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Now we're talking about baptism. We covered under B for baptism, we covered 1, 2, 3, and 4. We finished with proper candidates. Now we're going to look at the proper purpose behind baptism. Baptism is very misunderstood, not properly practiced, and definitely not biblically accurate according to some groups. So let's look and see what does the Bible tell us about the purpose, the correct purpose of baptism. A under number 5, it is for the purpose of identification. Now let's look at chapter 6 of Romans, and we're going to look beginning with verses 3 through 5. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So the Bible is talking here about something very important, and the reference here is being burial. Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." And I talked about last week a little bit about how there are three elements by which you can be immersed. One is water. Two is dirt. Three is fire. This earth was covered in water at the time of the universal flood. This world will one day be burned, cleansed by an element also that will totally consume the planet that comes at the close of the millennial reign. And then, of course, we talk about also dirt. That speaks of burial. We take a dead body, we put it in the ground, we put it in the ground, we don't put it on top of the ground. We cover it with dirt, and it immerses, the dirt immerses the casket. That's what it's supposed to do. So the correct purpose is to identify with burial, and that's all. Because it speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You are standing up in the water. That speaks of his death. You are put back into the water. That speaks of his burial. You bring him up. Alright, look at the verse. I like the way it's worded in verse 5. It says, in the latter part of verse 5, "We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Back up to verse 4, the last part that says, "Even so, we should also walk in newness of life." And when you get saved, you are going through a process of newness of life. Okay? It is a process, a gradual process. It doesn't take place instantaneously. Salvation happens instantaneously, but the work of grace is a gradual thing that takes place in our lives, just like a baby that is growing up. Caleb is not going to turn 23 tomorrow. Okay? I certainly would prolong that as long as possible, especially tax time. Alright? But when he hits a certain age, mom and daddy are going to be hurting tax time. Okay? Because he will be out on his own, doing his own thing. And you will always say, the proverbial saying is that turn around and they've grown up. And that's true. Parents know that. They get married, go on, do their thing. You always say, where did that time go? Where did that... You know, we don't have our children very long, do we? Not at all. Sometimes, at the max, 18 years. That's it. Now, sometimes, some parents, you know, have their children till they're 50 and 60. And that might be a little stretching it. But it does happen sometimes. And but on the average, God put it in the hearts of these young people once they get grown. He puts it in their hearts to leave. And that's not an easy thing to deal with, but it's part of growing up. And so it's a gradual process. And so we're told here that we walk in newness of life. So we're going down a new trek and a new path. Now, identification is the word that we're talking about. Let's turn now to the book of Titus. A few books over from where you are. The book of Titus. Chapter 3. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Notice this phrase. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice what it did not say. It does not say by the washing of baptism. It's very important. Not by the washing of a river. Not by the washing of the city main. Okay? I love one of my favorite hymns, if not my favorite hymn, is "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." You know what the song does not say? It does not say there is a fountain filled with water drawn from the city main, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's not what it says. Not water. It's the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. And so notice that it says the washing of regeneration. That when you get saved, that's the baptism that is at work in your life. Now the question is this: do I have to be baptized in water? You don't have to be. But if you're going to be obedient to the Lord, you will be. That's just the bottom line. You've got its obedience. The Lord commanded it. Now, there are plenty of people that maybe have been saved and they're not baptized. Are they going to heaven? Yes. Because it's the blood. Okay? That's very important. It's the blood of Jesus. But will they go and stand before the Lord and have to answer for that? I believe so. Because when the Lord commands something, we ought to pay attention to what He commands us. And there are many commands in the Bible. We have the command to baptize. We have the command to edify. Build up one another. We have the command to be soul winners and witness for the Lord. Many commands are in the Bible. And we need to do that. But we will stand before the Lord probably with heavy heads because we will be disobedient and stand before Him and answer for that disobedience. So you're going to heaven whether you're baptized or not. You've got to be saved. That's the most important thing. But if you want to please God, you ought to be baptized because He commanded. What's the incorrect purpose? Let's turn to chapter 2, verse 38, Acts. That's the next reference. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to put on your thinking caps for a few minutes. Because I'm going to take you down into a T-bone steak. We're going to leave a hamburger right now and go into a T-bone. And I'm going to show you something you may have never seen before. But I want to show you a verse that the Campbellites use. If you don't know what a Campbellite is, that's the Church of Christ. It was founded by a gentleman named Campbell back, oh my goodness, probably in the 1500s or 1600s. And he believed that baptism was necessary. You had to be baptized to be saved. That's what the Campbellites teach. And this is one of their major verses, and I want to take a second to help for us to understand this. I want you to put your thinking caps on and concentrate for just a few minutes with me. Now, chapter 2, verse 38, book of Acts. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, sometime, if you have commentaries and you enjoy study, look that verse up and see what commentators say about the verse, and I'm going to tell you what they say about it. But what they say about it is not biblically accurate. I'm going to tell you why. There's a reason. Because, all right, let's look at the order in which verse 38 goes. Okay? Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them." Now, who is the them? Well, we're in chapter 2. Okay? Chapter 2 is what? The preaching on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Now, 3,000 people get saved. Understand that in chapter 2, this is dealing with Jews, because the day of Pentecost represented the time of Pentecost, and it has to do with the Jewish celebration of the Passover and that type of thing. And so now understand when he says in verse 38, Peter said unto them, you must understand who he's talking to. He's talking to the Jews. There are no Gentiles present here. That's very important to understand. Now what does he say to them? Repent. Well, okay, I can go with that. When I got saved, I repented. You did too. That part is okay. This says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, I got a problem. Jesus is gone, but Jesus said before he died, he said, be baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, that verse says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, naturally, somebody's going to shout out that there is a contradiction. Well, there's no contradictions in the Bible. But there's also a reason why things are worded like they're worded. All right, now, repent, number one. Number two, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, notice this. Notice number three, for the remission of sins. Now, the Church of Christ liked this verse because it's teaching that if you repent and get baptized, your sins are washed away. And essentially on the surface, that is what it's saying, but we're not done yet. Then it says, after you repent, after you're baptized in the name of Jesus, after you have had remission of your sins, forgiveness of your sins, washing away of your sins, then it says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in that order. All right, now, here's what Paul taught. Paul taught in the New Testament, in the epistles. We repent. We are convicted of our sins. We repent. Trust Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit simultaneously, because the Bible says the temple, that we're the temple, the Spirit of God comes within us. Then we are baptized. And we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The order between Acts 2:38 and Matthew 28:19 and 20 do not match. Therefore, if that's true, what's going on in 2:38 of Acts? Understand to whom he is speaking. He is speaking to the Jews. He is not talking to you and me. We were not there. The Jews don't come along. The Gentiles don't come along till the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Okay? The first 7 chapters are all referred to the Jews. Very important to understand that. So it says to the Jews, repent. Well, what are they going to repent for? Think about that. They are repenting. They're supposed to repent. Because notice he's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to all these Jews. What do they need to repent of? What have they done in the last few weeks? They crucified Jesus Christ. Remember when Pilate stood up and said, who would you have me to release unto you? The Jews said, release unto us Barabbas, and crucify Jesus. Yes, the Romans did use the art of crucifixion, and I say art because it wasn't art. They could take people and put and crucify people. The Romans could take a spike and put it in the arm in such a way that not one bone was broken. That, because, I mean, you got lots of bones in that hand. But they could put it in there to where in such a way, and most Bible teachers believe that it was right in this area of the wrist. Somebody says, but it says the hand. But the wrist and the hand are the same thing. Okay? You have the forearm, the wrist, the hand, and this is all together. And so they put the spike there, and he was nailed to the cross. But even though the Romans put him on the cross, the Jews instigated him. Okay? That must be understood in our Bible. Now, he said unto them, repent. Repent for what? repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why in the name of Jesus Christ? Because he's the one they reject. They must repent of their deeds, and they must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why they must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because they had crucified Jesus Christ and they did not believe who Jesus Christ was, and they believed that Jesus Christ was a dud and a fake and a phony. And here Peter says, you must believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. Now notice this, repent of what you did against Jesus Christ. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to prove that you know you did wrong. And what? For the remission of sins. What remission of sins? Their rejection of Jesus. Their sins of rejecting the Messiah. Let me show you something just quick. Turn over to 7th chapter of Acts for a second. And this 7th chapter is where Stephen is preaching and getting stoned. Look at verse 54. I want to tie this in with what we're talking about. Verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly up into heaven and saw the glory of God. And notice this, and Jesus standing on the right hand. You read the rapture, he will be standing at the right hand, and he will be seen at the rapture of the church. Why is he standing in chapter 7? Because if the Jews, and that's who it is in chapter 7, remember what I said, the first 7 chapters, all about the Jews. If the Jews had repented in chapter 7, you know what the Lord was ready to do? He would have come out of heaven. He was standing. He would have come down and he would have set up the millennial reign right there. Because what was it that Stephen told them? Stephen told them to repent. And they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, verse 57, and ran upon him, cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, Lord, lay not this into their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now, right here, you know what the Jews did? They rejected him again. In chapter 8, you will see there begins a persecution in verse 1. And guess what happens? The Bible says, verse 1, and they, talking about the church, were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, and except the apostles. And it begins talking about how they went out. You know where they went? They went to Gentile regions. God said, if you will not accept my son as your Messiah, then I'm going to take the good message to Gentiles. And that's a good thing for us. We'd have never heard the story of Jesus if it hadn't happened. Now let's go back. Chapter 2. Repent. Repent of what? Repent that you rejected Jesus. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you must publicly denounce what you did. That's why they had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. To publicly renounce their rejection of Christ. Remission of sin. That was the only way as a nation there would be forgiveness. Because remember, he's preaching to a nation here, not individuals, a nation. He's talking to the entire Jewish nation. Then he says, if you do all of that, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Conditional. Now see, that's why that has... Now, if you listen to the Campbellites, they'll use that verse on you and tell you that if you're going to heaven, you've got to be baptized. Or they pronounce... If you want to spot a Campbellite, listen to this. Listen to the way they say baptize. They will say baptize. Like you would spell it phonetically. B-U-B-T-I-Z-E. Baptize. Emphasis on the last syllable. Baptize. We don't say baptize. We say baptize. We say baptism. They say baptism. It's characteristic. And that's the way they pronounce it in Campbellite churches. So when you hear that, your antenna better go up. Because you might be talking to a Campbellite. And what's the problem with the Campbellite? They teach, among other things, that you must be baptized to go to heaven. You can be dunked in every pool, baptistry, lake, river, it doesn't matter. All the tadpoles may know you by name. It doesn't matter. You must be baptized in the blood of Jesus and not water. Okay? So, I spent a lot of time there, but I want you to see that because that's one of the most confusing verses in the Bible, and it's not. If you look at it in its context, it makes perfectly good sense, but you got to draw all those things out to see it. So salvation is not being taught in 238, even though the Campbellites say it is. It is not. All right, quickly, and we'll close. Memorials pictured within the ordinances. Number one, death is pictured. Okay? The Lord's Supper speaks of Christ's death, and baptism speaks of the Christian's death. We die to the things of this world when we are baptized. That's what we're saying. Now, let me tell you something about baptism. And I'm sure you've heard this. If a Jew does get saved, average Jewish family doesn't have a problem with that. But the Jewish family will have a major problem if that Jew ever gets baptized. Because it's one thing, they don't put a lot of stock in the pronunciation of the faith. But when you get in that water and you're baptized, you know what you're doing? You are publicly stating to whoever is sitting there that your old life is dead and your new life is in Christ. And what a Jew, an Orthodox Jewish family will do is they'll have a funeral. And they will actually even get a coffin and take it to their synagogue. And they will mourn and weep because their child is dead. Now they're not dead, but they're dead to them. Because then what they do is they cut them off. I don't know, I don't remember if it was Dr. Jacob Gartenhouse. I think it was Dr. Jacob Gartenhouse. If you've never heard of the International Board of Jewish Missions out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, Dr. Gartenhouse was an old-fashioned Jew. He got saved. And I think it was Dr. Gartenhouse, but when he got saved, he went away to Bible college, went to Tennessee Temple. And God called him to preach. And I forgot where his home was, Ohio or somewhere up in there. Well, he took a train. I think it was a train or a bus up to his home, and he got there, and when he got there, his grandmother never did let him in the house, but she opened the door, the window, and she told him, said, "You're causing your parents grief, so here's what I'm going to do. I have a suitcase, and it was hundreds of thousands of dollars in the suitcase," and she said, "You will renounce your faith in Christianity. I will give you this bag, this suitcase, all will be forgiven, all will be forgotten, you will restore honor to your family, but if you don't, we cut ties with you totally." And he had to say to his grandmother, "I can't do that. I cannot renounce my faith in the Lord." And so she slammed the window, that was it. And I forget how he got back. I think he had used all his money maybe to buy his train ticket. And I think he had to kind of hitchhike or something on the way back to Chattanooga. But that's what happens when Jews make that kind of a commitment. Their family is ostracized. But baptism is the sign. They see when they get baptized in the water, that's the cutting off place. And that's what happens to many of them. Number two, Christ is pictured. The Lord's Supper speaks of Christ's return. And then secondly, the baptism speaks of Christ's resurrection. And then thirdly, doctrine is pictured because the Lord's Supper speaks of justification. What does that mean, justification? Just as if I had died and paid the price. Jesus died for me. And justification in the blood of Jesus, talked about in the wine and on like that. And then baptism speaks of sanctification because, as we talked about that verse in Romans chapter 6, talks about raised to walk in newness of life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right? We will stop there tonight. Now, on the offering tonight, let me find out. Ladies, do we need money to put in these eggs? All right, let's go ahead and let the offering tonight go for the eggs. So if you will check and see if you've got dollar bills, change, quarters, nickels, dimes, a fake coin, don't put that one in. All right? And Johnny, if you'll come up here and receive the offering, please, sir. Some child's going to have a good one, isn't it? Oh, yeah. All right. All right, this will go for the Easter egg hunt on Saturday, Sunday, 9 to 7 day Advent. All right. So, we've got a good day looking for a good day Sunday. We'll have our morning services and have a nice luncheon together. Have our get together, fellowship, a little thought from the Word of God, and children will be enjoying themselves. We'll have a good afternoon service. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray that you bless the offering and those that have to give and those that don't. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do what? Yeah. Have you ever seen the old movies? I think it's like Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, where they're sitting in church and the plate comes and they act like they're going to put something in, then they thonk it when they drop nothing. So that's interesting. But tonight, I guess everybody gave what you're giving. Everybody can afford a few pennies or something, huh? All right, have a good one, and we'll see you, Lord willing, on Sunday. There's an old song, I think Bob Hope sang it, said,